disappointments, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsessions, pain or depressions, I'm standing on the solid rock. Oh, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me and from temptations hide me, I'm standing on the solid rock. Oh, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, and firm is our foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. Oh, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Oh, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward.
Yes, I am.
Each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, strong is our foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. Oh, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rage.
Won't you stand and sing it?
But not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Oh, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Oh, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
God is so mighty and so powerful that there's no such thing as defeat to the blood. Can you accept that? That there's no such thing as defeat. Now, the blood's got to be applied. The blood's got to be applied. And you've got to believe in it. And you've got to surrender your life to it. And you've got to live under the umbrella of the blood. Every day of my life. Thank you, singers. Thank you, Sister Angel. I really know that the power of the blood is beyond any understanding. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. Now, listen to me carefully. This thought. When God hung on a cross. When God hung on a cross. I want you to listen carefully. We will go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke chapter 23. And we will begin reading with verse 33 of Luke 23. And I want to talk to you this morning about Christ, the Son of God. The God, if you would call him such, manifest in the flesh, as the Bible said, and when he died on a cross. There were seven things that the Lord said during his time of hanging on the cross. All from the moment they hung him on the cross until he finally said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Seven things that came from his lips that are some of the greatest statements you will ever find in the Bible. Now, they're only great when you understand the source from which they came and the purpose for which they were spoken. So listen to me carefully. I will read to you from the book of Luke 23. We'll begin reading with verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, this is his first statement. First statement on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garment and cast lots. They parted his garment and cast lots. They cast lots for who would get the garment once it was taken from his body. And the people stood by beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. He saved others. That was a put down of his saving grace of lost men. He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save yourself. If thou be the King of the Jews, save yourself. Now listen to those words. They are powerful, and they really do make an impact on the heart. If thou be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, again, I'll read, if thou be the Christ, the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. All of that was a put down, of course. Father, the thoughts of a God hanging on a cross is almost outside the perimeter of the human ability to grasp. How could a God die? How could a God be killed? How could a God be crucified? How could such a thing happen? As we read in this Holy Bible, Father, that the Son of God, the God incarnate, could die on a tree. Father, the grasp of it is beyond the world, but to those of us with revelation from heaven, we understand. Blood was redeeming lost mankind. Not just blood, but divine blood. Not just divine blood, but a divine being in whose body and whose veins that blood flowed was dying for a lost world. And we claim a miracle of your understanding this morning in Jesus' name and amen. Will you give me your utmost attention? You may be seated. As I do my best to preach to you about the things occurring while Jesus was hanging on that cross. And before I go to the things that occurred, let's make sure we grasp that it was God hanging on that cross. It was God hanging on that cross. Not God the Father. No, I know better than that. But it was God the Son that hung on that cross. And the Bible had made it clear that he was God incarnate. He was God within the body of a Jewish man. He was truly God dying on a cross. And Jesus had made it plain that no man could take his life from him. He had to lay it down of himself. They could not kill him. The hall of Pilate, they beat him until his body was unrecognizable. His skin was hanging off like rags. They enforced a cross upon his shoulder that he sought to carry. And finally, someone had to be enjoined to carry the cross the rest of the way. And then they nailed him to that tree, crucified him upon that hillside. But they couldn't kill him. All of their efforts to kill the Son of God had failed. All of their capacity to take his life from him had just never worked. They could not kill him. But he of himself would say the last of the seven sayings, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Notice that. Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. They didn't kill him. They didn't take his life from him. He was God hanging on that cross. No doubt about it. I don't think anybody that understands the Bible could ever doubt it. But yet it's not something we normally say. And when I was listening to the Holy Ghost and felt like the Spirit of God was telling me to preach that and use those terms, I must admit it kind of disquieted me. I was a bit perplexed with my thinking. I was burdened, Lord. Am I saying the right thing? Am I thinking the right thing? And once I was convinced by the Spirit that I was right, that it was God hanging on that tree. How many of you can accept that? Would you mind lifting your hand as high as you can lift it? Will you raise it way up there? Can you accept that it was God hanging on that cross? It was God hanging on that cross. Well, the things that he said would have to come from a God. They would have to come from a God-like person or a God individual, because they would not be possible for men, in not all the cases, but in some of the cases, for a man to say. They were divine indeed, and they were right from the heart of the Son of God. So the God, the Creator God, the Bible says in Hebrew, in John chapter 1, he made all things, and by him was everything made that was made. How many remember reading that? That's John chapter 1. Oh yes, by him was everything made. He at the Father's bequest was the Creator of all things. As the Father led, he obeyed, and he was indeed God hanging on the cross. Now, let's look at him hanging there in a way that was nothing but shame in the human thinking. Nothing was worse in the mind of people of that generation than for someone to die on a cross. They were ultimate sinners. They were the ultimate hated. They were the ultimate thief. They were the ultimate murderer. They were those found guilty of this horrible means of death. And I just read the other day in one of the eastern countries that they were crucifying people. Well, we live in a day that that's probably going to become very popular again. I can see that on the horizon. But Jesus was crucified in shame. His body, his very being was not marvel to look upon in the condition that he hung on that cross. He was dying as the Son of God. Royal blood dripping from his veins. Oh, every drop of blood brought me a million years. Think about it. Think about it. Have you ever heard that old song? Each drop of blood brought me a million years. I'm here to tell you, the multiplied million years in our future are more than all the drops of his blood. Well, hallelujah. What a Savior. What a God on that cross. Well, he hung there in what appeared to be shame. And those around him were angry. And they were saying every kind of ugly thing. And they were charging him. If you're the God, come down from the cross. You talk about saving us. We're watching to see you save yourself. They shamed him. They sought to shame him. But his first words are words that I just don't want us to ever forget. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, let's analyze that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, how could anybody make that statement but God? How could anybody make that statement but God? They know not what they do. Well, they'd crucify the multitude. They had hung many men on crosses around that part of the world. It was a way they got rid of their enemies. But this man, this God man said, they know not what they do. Oh, they did not understand. They were not just eliminating the life of a noted rabbi. They were not just getting rid of an enemy of the priesthood. Oh no, they were crucifying God from heaven. Oh, will you help me? They were crucifying him who bore in his very being the divine blood of the sovereign God. Everything that heaven was invested in the Christ hanging there on that tree. Everything of redemption was invested in him. He had upon his shoulders the redemption of the whole universe. He had upon his shoulder the cleansing of a world full of filth and wickedness. He had on his shoulder the redemption of every vile sinner that's ever walked this earth. Oh, he said, would you listen to me? Would you listen to me? No wonder he said, for they know not what they do. See, I never thought much about that statement till this sermon. Would somebody lift a hand up and just let him know, God, your son knew what he was doing, but that crowd around him didn't know what he was doing. Well, they said, if you can save others, save thyself. Listen to me. The only way he could save you and I, Norma, is that he didn't save himself. If he had saved himself, you'd be lost. That one thought is enough to absolutely represent as much of a sermon as I could ever preach. Father, forgive them. Now you say, oh, I don't believe in the Trinity. Well, what was Jesus doing saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Everything you see with him hanging on the cross, and you wait till we get a little further, and you see that the God that was giving his son had to turn his head. He couldn't watch the shame. He couldn't watch the horror. He couldn't watch what was happening to his dear son hanging on that tree. All hell must have bowed there. I mean, all heaven must have bowed their head that day and wept with bitter tears as they watched the blessed Son of God suffering as he was suffering on that tree. God dying on the cross. And the only reason, Brother Joe, he could do for you and I what he does and has done and is doing is because God was hanging on a tree for us. God was dying on the cross, Brother James. God was dying on the cross, my dear brother. God was dying on that tree, the divine Son of God. Every cell of his being was pure. There was no sin had ever crossed his very conscience and his very action. He was pure and divine and holy. Every word ever came out of his mouth is as pure as the Bible is pure. Hallelujah. He was divine. He was heavenly. And God was dying on a tree. But he loved every man. Can you imagine that man who still had held the hammer? He had just drove those nails through the skin, through the flesh of the Son of God. And he's still standing there. And he's still got the hammer. And he's holding it in his hand. And all of a sudden, he hears the man. He just drove the nails in his hand. Say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He might have thought for a moment, man, I know what I'm doing. What's he doing praying? I don't know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm killing that ragtag rabbi. I'm getting rid of that ragtag rabbi. But maybe I know it happened to the man over all the guards. He said, truly, surely, this must be the Son of God. I can kindly imagine that man with a hammer in his hand stood there, and Brother Steve, he shook in his own flesh as he heard those words from the Lord. He probably felt the conviction of the Holy Ghost get a hold of him as he heard those words. Hallelujah. The Son of God was dying. God was dying on the tree. God was dying. Hallelujah. And he was redeeming while he was dying. Hallelujah. Well, see, all the time he's dying, he's saving. He can't save himself. Oh, no, he couldn't save himself. He's saving you. You, Bob. You, Lika. He was saving you, Brother Robert. Brother Robert, you know why you could come down here a few weeks ago and get right with God? Because God died on the cross. Woo, that's so much I want to shout. I want to take off running, to be honest with you. Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. But go a little further. Go a little further. And let's see what we might see, okay? Oh, let's go to verse 43. Verse 43. I think I've got the right verse here. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. All right, let's go back. You notice it said a while ago, we read two malefactors. One hung on the right and one on the left. I'm going to be political a little bit here. I think it was the one on the right that he saved. I have nothing to do with lefty thinking. I'm a righty thinking. Okay? Anybody with me? Anybody political enough to say I'm right and not left? Raise your hand if you're right instead of left. Hallelujah. What side are you on, Brother James? Well, it don't really matter. You're my brother. Either way, I'm not being political. I'm just kind of enjoying myself. But I want to tell you something. That one on his right or left said to him, Lord, remember me whence thou comest into thy kingdom. What did I say to you a while ago? The only way you can understand these seven sayings of Christ is to know he was God dying on a cross. That's the only way you can understand this, is understanding he was God dying on a cross. And here was two thieves, one on the left, one on the right, and one of them was saying ugly things, and I presume cursing and using foul language, and he was laying it on the Son of God. But the other one looked at him, and I got rid of the right-left thing there, just for your sake. Don't want to lose nobody this morning in the middle of a sermon, but I want to tell you something. That man who was thinking right, he had looked over there at that man hanging between him and another malefactor, and he had saw something he'd never seen before. He'd seen a lot of crucifixions. He'd seen a lot of murderers. He'd lived among the worst of the crowd. He was a snake in his own being. But now he's looking at the man dying in the middle. And he saw a glow on his face, I presume. He saw something in his countenance. He just heard those words, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And he looks at him and said, Lord, what did he call him? Tell me what he called him. Why would he call him Lord? Because he just made him Lord. That's why. He just made him Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Hey, anybody know? Let me see the hand if you know where paradise was at that moment. Did you know where paradise was? Paradise was in the heart of the earth. It was where all the righteous of the Old Testament were, every last one of them, except Elijah and Enoch. Every man who had died from the day of creation unto this very moment was in paradise. They were right there in Abraham's bosom. And Jesus was fixing ahead for that very place. When he got through dying, he was going to head out for Upper Sheol, Abraham's bosom. Jesus knew that. Are you listening to me? And so he said, today, I'll see you where I'm going. No, he didn't use those words. Today, we'll be together in a holy place among a bunch of holy people. And today, you won't only see me, but you'll hear me preaching the glorious gospel. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus said that to a thief. We look at sinners, and we see them as sinners, and that's normal. But I want to look at you this morning, and I want to see you forgiven, saved, made a new creature, turned upside down, made right with God. If you're sitting in this building and you've been playing with sin, and you've been, and there's somebody around this building that's been playing with sin, because the Holy Ghost showed me that this morning, and God's going to reveal it. And so if you're the guilty party and you're here, I don't know that you're here, but if you're the guilty party, I'll tell you right now, it'll be much easier for you to do it before God has to make it manifest. It'll be much easier to take care of it. I never said something like this since I've been pastoring. But I know what I'm saying this morning. And I'm telling you, it's later than you think. And it's time we quit playing games with God. It's time we went all the way. Listen to me, church. It's time we went all the way. It's time we gave everything to God. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And then he says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Wow, I love that. Somebody that loves hearing Jesus say that to a man who just got converted, a man who just got saved. He hadn't been saved long enough for the whispers to hardly vanish from his lips. He had just made the statement, Lord, remember me. I don't have any idea but to believe within the seconds before this, he had been gloriously converted. He'd become a new man. He looked at that man in the center of him and the other thief and said, he's got what I need. And he had claimed the lordship of the Christ. And the Christ recognized it, because the moment you get saved, he will recognize you as being one of his children. Oh, somebody raise a hand. Why are you just sitting there looking at me? Hallelujah. This is worth shouting about. An old thief getting saved like this. What's the nerve? Woo! If you're not saved this morning, he's ready to save you. I'm here to tell you, I know I'm not going to finish all of these, but they are so blessed. They're wonderful. Three of them were in Luke, and three of them in John, and one of them in Matthew. And I think we'll go to John if we might. I think this is worth our attention. Let me just tell you, other than read it, in John, he tells the story of watching Jesus on the cross. And suddenly, Jesus looks over to his mother. The woman who bore him in her womb without knowing the man. The woman who bore him in her womb without knowing the man. And he says, woman. And he points. No, he couldn't point. But somehow moves his eyes, I presume. Matthew recognized it, knew what was happening. He said, John, a woman, behold thy son. And John came into view. God was taking care of mother. While he was dying on the cross. I want to tell you something. That's as divine as when he said to the thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. To take care of his mother. To make sure she had a place to live. To make sure she had someone to care for her. The Son of God is dying. Mary Magdalene had bore him in her womb. All the shame that went with bearing a son without having known a man. As far as the people knew, they'd gossiped about her. They'd found fault with her. They were saying, that's not possible. I guarantee you, those leader Jews had given her everything that you could call darkness and criticism. But Jesus gives her the hope of her future. And he says, woman, behold thy son. Didn't call a mother in that case. He called a woman. Then he says to John, behold thy mother. Is that not beautiful? How many can see that as being divine? That really is divine. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Think about your mother or your wife, gentlemen. There's nothing more precious to us than our sweet wives and mothers. They're wonderful. They're God-given. Thank God for them. So that was the third. And it's beautiful. And you can think that we ought to treat that one lightly if you please, but not Brother Chambers. I think it's grand. I literally think it's grand. But then we'll go a little further. And this is in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Jesus hung on that cross for about 3 hours. 3 hours. I mean, he suffered great pain. It was like hell on earth. And finally, about 12 o'clock, a darkness fell. I mean, a blackness fell, a darkness. that just literally took everybody. They are all standing around the cross, probably frozen in their fear and their confusion. And Jesus is hanging on the tree. We don't have anything he uttered between those 3 hours from 12 to 3. But about 3 o'clock, the light must have come on. The sun must have shone again. And Jesus hanging there, and the misery upon him. My God! My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God, the Father, had turned his head on God the Son. And God the Son had hung there in horrible pain with a burden of sin like 1,000,000 pounds hanging on his shoulders. And he had tried to find the Father in the darkness, and he couldn't find him. He must have looked. I can imagine the Son of God hanging there during those 3 hours, and he's doing his best to turn his head, arms stretched, his body in great misery. But he's trying, where is my Father? Where is my Father? Where is my Father? He didn't tell me he was going to forsake me. He didn't tell me I'd have to hang here these 3 hours all alone. Where's my Father? And finally he utters those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now let me tell you, only a God could experience what he experienced. He had Marlon's sins, Brother Dylan's sins, Brother Joe's sins, everybody hanging on his back. The load was so terrible, that load could kill. I promise you, if any one of us had hung on a tree that long with that load, we would not have lived more than 15 minutes, if that long. The load of sin all by itself, without a pain, without a misery, the load of sin all by itself would kill one of us. And he'd bore those sins for 3 hours. He'd bore that guilt for 3 hours. For those 3 hours, he was as guilty as every thief that's ever stolen. He was as guilty as every sodomite that's ever engaged himself in sodomy. He was as guilty of every fornicator that's ever slept with other men and other women beside their wives or husbands. I'm here to tell you, he was guilty with everything that human action can incur. He was guilty with every sin that man can commit. He was guilty with everything our sins was placed on him. We call it vicarious. Vicarious. He bore my sins in my stead. And it was all he could bear. And finally, at the end of the load, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I really think that's the greatest picture of all that Calvary means in all the Bible. My Savior, my God, my redeeming God, the blood filled Son of God, divine blood filled Son of God, was dying for me. And the Father had to turn his head. You say, why did the Father turn his head? The Bible says God is too holy. He cannot look upon sin. There's only one reason that God the Father turned his head from Christ was because God can't look at sin. You say, I got sin in my life. Well, I'm promising you, you better repent because God can't look at sin. And there won't be one sin that goes up in that rapture. It will be a pure crowd of blood-washed saints who've given their whole life to Christ the Redeemer, the mighty Savior. Hallelujah. There won't be no sin in that rapture-going crowd. Somebody raise your hand and help me. I feel his mighty presence. God's calling you out of your sins, from your carelessness and disobedience. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He would have said, son, I had to either forsake you or forsake Joe Chambers. Son, I would either have to forsake you or I would have to forsake other people. But God didn't forsake one. He gave his son. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's number four. And there is no greater statement than that. I love every word of it. I love every word of it. Well, it gets worse as it goes. A few minutes later, his mouth is drawn. Been no moisture in his lips for 6 hours now. It's like his mouth is a. Have you ever been so thirsty you thought you literally was going to die if you didn't get you a drink of water? And he was just that thirsty. And the Son of God, I don't know, I'm trying to think of anywhere in the Bible that Jesus said anything about his pain, anything about his misery, anything about all the hell he went through. It seems to me, somebody help me if you can remember, it seems to me this is the one time that Jesus complained about his own pain and misery. Of course, he was complaining to the Father, but I'm talking about to us. I thirst. I thirst. You know what they did for him? They grabbed a piece of what did they use? Hyssop. And they dipped it in vinegar. Would you imagine putting vinegar in your mouth when it's already drawn into terrible misery? They gave him vinegar to drink. That was their reaction to the passion and the pain of the Savior. That was their reaction to all that he was going through, because God was dying on the cross. Because God was dying on a cross. And then it wasn't but a few minutes. This is in the book of John also, 19:30. Jesus hanging there. Look at me now. Jesus hanging there. He's done his best to pull himself up and breathe. You see, the way they crucified them, they hung the hands out, they hung the feet out, and as you're hanging down under all of that, you can't breathe. And so they would have to pick themselves up with their spikes in their hands so they could get a breath of air. Now, can you imagine? Two spikes in your hands, and the misery is beyond understanding, and you're using them to pull your body up a little bit so you can suck in a little bit of a breath. Just get a little breath, you know, just a little breath. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus sees all around him. Jesus looks into the distant future. He sees every one of us down the road. You say, Brother Chambers, does he know that? I wish I'd have got the scripture ready in Isaiah where it says that we are hacked into his hands. I don't remember. It's in Isaiah, and I didn't think about getting it prepared to read it to you. But the Bible actually says that we were tattooed in the hands of our Savior. I think it uses the term hacked, but the meaning of the term is like the term tattooed. And so we were hacked into his hands. Brother Dylan, if you could have been there and looked in all the script of why he was dying, you'd have found your name written somewhere in that nail print in his hands. Did you know your name was in those prints of his hands where those spikes had brought such misery? How many of you knew your name is there? Oh, Brother Carlos, your name is there, brother. I wish somebody would help me. I don't understand why somebody is raising a hand or something. Did he die for you? How many did he die for? How many did he die for? Did he die for you? It is finished. He said, it's finished. It's finished. That means I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Woo! How about saying that out with me? I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Come on together. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus affirmed it when he said, it is finished. It's finished. It's done. My Messiah, oh, Holy Ghost, talk to us. Holy Ghost, talk to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you the greatest event of human existence is the death of my Savior for my sins on that tree. Oh, Holy Clever, it's finished. It's finished. I wish you'd say that with me again. It's finished. Can I tell you this morning? It's finished. Well, I got to go one more point because I don't want to end without it all. Finally, he says, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Notice, they didn't take life from him. He gave up the ghost. That ghost meant his spirit. Do you see? Listen, now the Christ is hanging on the cross. He is bodily a Jew. He is spiritually God. He is soul. In his soul, he's a redeemer. There hangs the God, the man, the redeemer. And so he gives up his spirit and it ascends to God. He dies and they take his body to a tomb. But the soul is still free. And so the soul takes a flight downward into the place of Abraham's bosom. Nobody gets forgotten in the death of Jesus. Nobody is forgotten. Jesus descends into the heart of the earth. There's a multitude waiting for him. Are you listening? Everybody understands this. Let me see your hand. Some people don't understand where Jesus went when he was being, after he was crucified. Do you understand? He went into the heart of the earth. His body went to that tomb. His spirit went to God. But his soul went down where the Old Testament saints were all awaiting a redeemer. And I want to tell you, I feel like screaming. When he got to that gate and he had the keys and he opened the gate into Abraham's bosom, you could have heard that crowd for a million miles as they began to scream, the Redeemer is here. The Redeemer has come. The Redeemer is here. Hallelujah. And all that crowd, multitude, oh, hallelujah. You know what? I guarantee you that thief had already got there and he was telling them, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry. Oh, hallelujah. What a savior. He went right down into Abraham's bosom and he started preaching. Hallelujah. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a healer in the house. The Redeemer has arrived. It's time for liberty. We're fixing to leave here and we're going to soar our way right up to the heavens. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and just worship him. A God was dying on the cross. A God was dying on the cross. Hallelujah. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. What a God. Hear me, my people, saith the Lord. The greatest hope of humankind is all tied up in the death of my son on that cross. When my son came down, he came down in the fullness of my Holy Spirit, and he was anointed until every word was from me that he spoke. He spoke not of himself, but he spoke as he heard of me, and then he died. I gave him the privilege of dying. I know I wanted him to die. I told him I needed him to die. All heaven knew and was depending on him, but the decision was in his hand. And when it came to that frightful hour, when all hell was breathing down his neck, he said, I'm willing, not my will, but thine be done. And so he died for you, saith the Lord. Now trust him and obey him. Would you slip your hand up and say, I surrender to Christ. All over this building, are you doing it? I surrender to Christ. I surrender to Christ. Now, don't you play no games with this. Don't you stand there and surrender and then go do your own thing. It's time to say, I surrender and mean it. I'm so tired of half-hearted religion. I'm so tired of half-hearted Christianity. I'm so tired of it. I feel like screaming. I want to see people live what they talk about. Walk where they say they're walking. Oh, saith the Lord, hear me. Oh, Kasidra Mohavia. Holy Antinobia. Now somebody in this building, you've got carelessness in your life. You've been in and out and up and down. You've played religious games. I want everybody that means business, one at a time, don't hurry. I want you to head out to this altar and come here and surrender to Him. Anywhere in the building, anybody, I'm coming in surrender. I repent of sin. If there's sin in your life, ask His forgiveness. Don't play no games. He knows everything about you. You got sin hid there. Like I said earlier this morning, you better get something done about it. God will be loving and good to you even in when you're in sin. He will keep showing you mercy. Oh, He's a merciful God. I want you to come. Anybody in the building, I'm getting out of your way here. Well, you can come right to this altar if you come in fresh surrender. All right, in fresh surrender. Somebody who really means business, and you're ready to devote yourself a little more devoted, would you step out and come? You ready this morning to cling only to the cross? Come. I'm clinging only to the blood. I'm clinging only to the blood. Everybody in this building, that's clinging only to the blood. Everybody, okay, say, Lord, Romo, I feel His Holy Ghost in this house. If you're lost, I hope you'll come. Oh, everybody come, please. Nobody sitting back. Nobody taking a back seat. Oh, I'm coming to Christ. Step out and come, brother. Step out and come, ladies. That means you're going to go forward. You're going to get your life on the right road toward heaven. No more games. No more carelessness. No more treating the things of God as though they're not the most important thing in your life. Come, quickly come. Come carefully. Come genuinely. Visitors, please come. Please, you know you're welcome. We love every visitor. You are special to us. Come quickly. Come right on down close. Come on down close, everybody. Come on down close, please. Hallelujah. Roll on down here, Brother Joe. Father, we love you this morning. God, you know the need of these ladies. You know the need in Brother James's life. You know the need in Brother Steve's life. Brother Marlon, I mean, all of us. We all walking in flesh, friends. We all walking in flesh. We have nothing of our own self that will keep us ready. Raise your hands now and talk to God. I'm going to go all the way with you, God. I'm going to obey you to the hilt. I'm going to obey you to the ultimate. I'm going to get right in the middle of my church, and I'm going to do God's will with all my heart and all my life. Tell Him. You got to tell Him. I can't tell Him for you. I'm going to be God's man. I'm going to be God's servant.